whatever they do. I love the noise of children. It's a part of life, and it's a wonderful sound. It's a couple of weeks since we're following through the Gospel of Matthew, verse by verse, so that we can have a clear understanding of the Bible. I you know, that's my tendency, is to preach through books of the Bible so that we find the context of it, we understand what's being said. And it's been a few weeks since we were back in Matthew 24, and that's where we left off. And the last time we were together, we saw that the disciples had asked a question and wondered, you know, what's the sign of your coming? When shall these things be? Because Jesus had told them that the stones in the temple, not one would be left upon another, which was shocking because these stones were so huge. And so it was impossible. It seemed like it was an impossible thing to happen. And Jesus began to tell them the certain things that would happen. We saw some of those a few weeks ago, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many places. And that these things would be on the increase and the rise before the coming of the Lord. Now, there's no question that the Lord is going to come someday. That's made clear in the Bible. If you believe the Bible at all, that this old world is going to get folded up like a garment. It's going to be put away. The fact of the matter is that we don't know when. Now, there have been lots of false teachers and people come along and say, the end of the world is in 2012. Remember that one? Yeah. And down through the ages, there have been all kinds of people who predict when the end of the world is going to come. Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour. So if anybody comes along and starts saying that, first thing you know is, okay, buddy, take a walk. I'm not going to listen, because the Bible tells us that even when Jesus was on earth, he didn't know when he was coming back. So who do you think you are to know? Right? I do know he's coming back, and I've said this to a few people before. He's coming back between 12 and 1 o'clock. Did you know that? You don't believe me? Huh? He's coming between 12 and 1 o'clock. I'm sure of that. All right, Geraldine. Somewhere on earth, it's between 12 and 1 o'clock at all times. Am I right? So, there's a joke, okay? Geraldine was going to ruin it on me, but anyway. He's coming back. But a lot of stuff is going to happen before that happens. And a lot of stuff that's not going to be easy to handle. Because God is allowing the world to take its own path. And he's allowing people to take their own directions. And when people are allowed to take their own path and their own direction, sadly, it's not an upward path. It's a downward path. And the reason why is because we have a sin principle within us. We have a sinful nature within us that wants to go in the wrong direction. Does anybody have that problem? Does anybody have a problem with sin in them wanting to go in the wrong direction? I do. We all have that problem, right? Now, if you're left to your own devices, that is a big problem, because sin is powerful. And there's a thousand things that can grab your attention, is there not? And in our culture today, there's a million things that can grab your attention, and they're right at your fingertips to draw you one way or the other, whether it's gambling or pornography, or whether it's adultery or cheating, whether it's jealousy, whether it's envy, whether it's whatever it is. Our world is full of it. And we have every opportunity, as the world turns, it doesn't get sweeter and better, it gets worse. So I want to encourage you, as bad as things are getting, there is still hope in God. There is still a place to turn to. And when Jesus speaks these things, the last time we were together, we said, as things get worse and worse in our world, as we see the pressures of the world, the hatred growing, the strife growing, nation rising against nation, ethnic group against ethnic group. I said, last time I was here, I shared there's 36 wars on the average going on in the world at all times, that this is a constant thing, and yet it is increasing because the world's getting smaller and smaller because of communication and transportation. So people are starting to rub shoulders more and more and more, and without anything to off-balance that sinful nature within us, aggression begins to happen. How do we counteract all of that? There's a hope, and that hope is in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. When I allow Christ to come into my soul, and I allow him to take over my thinking and my way of living, then I can be gracious, I can be kind, I can be forgiving, and I can be loving in the face of someone who's actually doing the opposite to me. God is looking for people who will live Christianity out on the day-to-day basis. He's not interested in people going to a church, even if they wave their hands and clap and dance and say, "We love you, Jesus," but then the rest of the week they live like the devil. God's not interested in that. He does not want hypocrisy. He wants reality. And he challenges us to that by calling us to a personal relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Each one of us. And before you think about somebody that you know that fits the bill to be a rotten sinner, just look at yourself. Take a good look in the mirror and say, "God, show me what I am." Because you'd be surprised what's lurking in the corners of your own heart and your own life. You know that old story, you point one finger, three are pointing back. And it's the truth. So whenever we consider the need of the world, first look at my own need. Oh God, am I surrendered? Oh God, am I willing to bow to the truth of the Word of God? Am I willing to surrender? Because here's what it says that will happen as the end times come. When that will be is in the hands of Almighty God. But there's a challenge in this whole passage is be ready. Now we need to be ready to meet God because the end could come in our lifetime. But I'll tell you something. You need to be ready to meet God because the end's going to come for you at some point. Am I right? Anybody here just going to keep on living forever? Get younger as time goes by? Huh? I don't think so. And anybody found the fountain of youth? There is no answer. For eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. This body, the body you have, no matter how hard they fight against it, is going to fade away and die. The end will come. It will come for all of us. And we don't know when it will come. We have no idea how long we have. This might be your last day on earth now. Don't get scared. But you might be, right? It could be. It might be you're going to live till you're 80 or 90. None of us know. And that is why it's so important that we be ready now. Be ready now. Now, here's what Jesus said. There will be a great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world till this time, nor ever shall be. This is at the very end of the age. Things are going to get rough. They're going to get hard. There's going to be deep problems. The pressure cooker is going to blow. And unless those days were short, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be short. I think I went over some of this the last time. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "there," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I told you beforehand. So, the elect are the people of God, the ones that have trusted in Him. And notice what it says, that there will false teachers will rise up and they'll do signs and wonders. There'll be so-called miracles. Now, whether they're true ones or not, we'll leave that with the Lord. Because the devil's powerful and he can make things look as if it's from God. The Bible says he can come as an angel of light. And so if it were possible, it says, even the elect would be deceived. But it's not possible. If a true believer will not swallow all of that stuff. But I'll tell you, the world will swallow it. And they'll swallow more and more of it as time goes by. Anything but Jesus. Anything but put your trust in the Lord. So that suddenly, things that were sin, clearly marked as sin in the Bible, now the world is saying, not sin, normal, natural. It's natural, it's normal. While the Bible says it's sin. Okay, so the Bible then has become wrong and the world has become right. It's amazing. This is happening and it's happening all around us. And you can go on the internet and they'll show you little stories and make little videos and tell you, no, it's normal, it's right, it's natural. Whatever the sin is, and there's all kinds of different sins out there. It's not normal. It's not natural. When it's wrong, it's wrong. The Bible does not change with the times. And we are being challenged. Come on. Change with the times. Get with it. No. I will stand on the truth of the Word of God till the end of the age. Because it's right and it's true. Sexual immorality is always wrong of any kind. Here's what the Bible says about it. The marriage bed is undefiled. It's pure. It's right. There is no shame. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Adulterers is one thing, but it says fornicators, which means any sexual activity outside of marriage is wrong. Now that's pretty narrow. That's considered absolutely crazy in our world today. You're going to be a freak if you're going to believe that. Well, I'm going to be a freak. because I believe the Word of God. And Jesus has not changed His mind about these things. That's the truth of it. We step outside of the boundaries of what God has for us, and we create a mess. And we create a terrible mess in our lives and in the lives of others. And no matter how good it's made to look, the end of it is destruction. That's what God says. I'm going to stand with the Lord. Either I'm going to stand with Him, or I'm going to stand without Him. He said, either you're for me or you're against me. You're either gathering or you're scattering. There is no in-between place. It is the truth that sets people free. And it still does. But oh, has the devil become clever with his lies? Has he deceived millions? Absolutely. Will he continue to do so? Definitely. But if you're going to trust in Jesus Christ, you will understand that no matter how many false prophets or false ideas that rise up, you have something to test it by. What do you have to test the falsehood by? If somebody can come along and do a miracle right in front of you, there's a good chance you're going to follow them, or you're going to say they must be right. What do you have to test it by? You have the truth of the Word of God. There's a passage here in Deuteronomy, it says this, if there arises among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, and he says, let's go after other gods we have not known, and let us serve them. Let's turn away from the truth of what God is and what He says He is. Let's go in another direction. What does it say? You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Test it by the Word of God. It also, it's another verse of Scripture says, to the law and to the testimony, if they don't walk according to the Word of God, there is no light in them. I believe with all my heart that God has a good plan for people, and that God loves people, and God loves all kinds of people. Now, don't get me wrong. Does God love sinners? Absolutely. Passionately. But loving a sinner doesn't mean that you condone their sin. I can hate sin, but love sinners. And I need to do that. I will hate sin, but oh, will I love a sinner? I will. And it means sometimes I'll have to tell them, this is wrong. This is not right. There are consequences to this. It's going to bring misery. It's going to bring destruction. Oh, it's not bringing to me now. That doesn't matter. If it doesn't happen until the day of judgment, it will come. It will come. God is passionate about the truth. And Jesus was here as He challenges us to be ready. And when you look at this passage, you'll see that the challenge is to be ready. So I say to you, Jesus said, some will say that He's in the desert. Don't go out. Or look, He's in the inner rooms. Don't believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus comes, you aren't going to miss it. It's going to be like lightning flashing across the sky. So here's a group that reads this verse and says, there was a man named Bahula. Okay? And he moved from the east to the west of his country. Get this one, okay? So, he's the prophet. He is the one that went from the east to the west, so he's our new Messiah. Did you get that? Is that true? Is that what Jesus was saying? He says, you aren't going to miss it. I'm going to come just like lightning flashes from the east to the west. So a whole faith called the Baha'i faith is based on the fact that Bahá'u'lláh filled this scripture. He didn't fill this scripture. Because the truth of the scripture is that when Jesus comes, it'll be just like lightning flashing clean across the sky. You won't miss it. He won't be hidden in a desert somewhere. It won't be some secret coming. When Jesus comes, everybody's going to know it. And then he uses a word, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And that is speaking of judgment. And it speaks about the fact where there's carnage, that the birds of prey are right there looking for it. They're ready to pick up the pieces of what's left over. Because there is going to be carnage. There is going to be wars. There is going to be great judgment. There is going to be great trial and tribulation. We already said a great tribulation so great that it speaks there of wherever there is a carcass, wherever there is dead bodies, there will be eagles gathered together. There's going to be a great tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There's going to be an end. It will come. But it's not going to come quietly, secretly. It's going to come with a bang. And when it does come, everything's going to get folded up. My question for you today is a small question. Are you ready? Oh, I got lots of time. Are you ready? Have you got lots of time? You might have a little more time before Jesus breaks the clouds and comes. But are you ready to meet the Lord? Regardless, are you ready? Now, that's not a fair question if there isn't an answer of how to be ready. It wouldn't be fair. It'd be kind of like saying, well, I need to get ready, but I don't know how to get ready. How then can I be ready? The way to be ready, God has given to us through His Son. If you want to meet Jesus at the end of the age or at the end of your life and know that things are going to be okay, you need to meet Him here. You need to meet Him now. And how can you meet Him now? Because Jesus Christ is offering to you now the fullness of forgiveness of sins, the fullness of a pardon, the fullness of heaven, if you're simply willing to turn from sin and put your trust in Jesus. If you don't, you're not ready. If you do, you are. It's one or the other. It's not complicated. God doesn't make it complicated. A little child can say, yes, Lord, I receive you into my life. It's not complicated. So the question is, are you ready? Have you come to the place in your life where you've accepted Christ? If you have, then the heaven is yours. Then, Lord, come, lift up your head. Look what it says. When these things begin to happen, look, lift up your heads. Your redemption is near. It's okay. It's okay because even if the end of your life is coming, you can be ready. You can know. As the doctor said to Maria, aren't you afraid? And she says, no. Well, I'd be afraid. Why? Because he's not ready. But Marie's ready. Ready. Ready to meet the Lord. Are you ready? If you had the sentence of cancer, if you're told you only have a month or two to live, could you say, I'm ready? Maybe I don't want to die. Maybe there's things I would like to do. Maybe I'd like to live a lot longer. But one thing I know, I'm ready. I'm ready to see Jesus because I know that I trusted in Him and He's my Savior. And I know that He's coming for me. I'm ready. Oh, I want to encourage you to be ready. And you know, what he begins to do is he talks about that readiness here as he speaks about the coming of the Lord here. It says here, He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And this is, of course, at the end of the age. And they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things, know that it is near at the doors. And he says, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these were things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will by no means pass away. So Jesus gave a list of things that were going to be happening as we come to the end of the age. And catastrophic things, worldwide problems, cataclysmic things that will be happening. And he says, now here's a lesson for you. If you see these things happening, that I'm telling you that are going to happen, which if you look at the earlier part of Matthew 24, then he says, it's kind of like a fig tree. Well, when the leaves come out, you know that something's going to happen. What? Summer's coming. Is that complicated? Now, I don't really know if summer's actually going to come this year, because it doesn't quite seem like it. But it's like I was looking at, there was a joke on Facebook a little while back, and two guys were walking with parkas on, and one fellow said, gee, I hope summer falls on the weekend this year. Right? You wonder if it's going to come, or if it's going to be here at all for very long. But Jesus said, listen, if you see green leaves coming out on a tree, you know that summer's coming. So he says, likewise, if you see the things that I'm saying happening in increasing nature, you know that the end is coming. You know that it's getting close. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it seems like it's getting pretty close. It seems to me that it can't be too much longer. That's true. But we don't know when the day or the hour is, but at least might know the season. We might at least be able to have some discernment to realize, boy, I got to make sure I'm ready, and I want to make sure other people are ready, because this world is falling apart. Someone said it's going to hell in a handbasket. It's falling apart. And relationships are falling apart. And the family structure is disappearing, and all kinds of things are happening in our societies across the globe, not just in a local area. And all of the things that are said that would be taking place, and they are in increasing measure across the world, are happening in our generation. And so he says, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Not too many. No. Yeah. Now the rate is over 60%, I think, across Canada. And so he says, so also when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. He says, the generation that sees all these things won't pass away till all it takes place. The generation that sees these things that I've been that Jesus was predicting here says, you're going to see the end too. You'll be there for the end. Now, you might say, well, what hope does that give me for my children? Listen, if you want to give your children hope or your grandchildren hope, give them Jesus. Give them a hope in God. Because a hope in God goes further and deeper than a hope in this world. Give them what really matters. When the Great Depression happened, how many top executives back in the 30s took their life? It was rampant. And that, when the crash happened a few years ago with the, I can't think of the name of it, but with the housing thing in the States, it caused a worldwide crash. A lot of people lost everything, didn't they? A lot of people lost everything. But they can't lose Jesus if you have him. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whatever else you have Jesus Christ. Listen, when I was growing up, going up, getting a job, finding a career was almost like normal, right? Now, well, guess where kids are? They're not out trying to find a career. They're living home with their parents because they don't know what to do with their lives. They can't figure it out. It's a complicated world now. And it's very difficult because jobs are shrinking. As technology grows, it seems like jobs shrink. And we run into lots of problems because their hope, if I set my hope in the things of this world, I will be disappointed. It's all going to be burnt up. It's going to be like the flowers that look so beautiful, but they got gobbled. That's what it's going to be like. So put your hope in the Lord. Look to Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. Now, when it says heaven and earth, it's not talking about God's dwelling place. There are three heavens in the Bible. There's the starry, the atmospheric heavens, the starry heavens, and heaven, God's dwelling place. The atmospheric heavens and the starry heavens are going to pass away, but the heaven, God's dwelling place, that will remain. So there is a spiritual heaven that will not. But the heavens that we look at, we get out and look at the starry night, all of this will pass away. It will crumble, I assure you. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we understand that. We don't have to listen to false teachers that says it. But here's what he tells you now. Listen to this here. He uses an example of the days of Noah. But as the days of Noah's were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. I know we're doing much of that anymore. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Everything was continuing on as if it was normal. In 1 Peter, it says people are going to say things have always continued the way they are, and they're always going to continue. But they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be instant. It will be no reprieve. There will be no opportunity for repentance if you wait too long. That's why it is so important to trust the Lord and walk with him now. Two men will be in a field, one taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. And there he speaks about the fact that two people are doing something, but one is the Lord's and one is not. So one's taken and one is remains. And I believe that that taking is being brought to judgment. One will be judged and one will be rescued. One will be judged. He says, listen, the issue is going to be is who's ready? One is ready and one isn't. That's the picture that he's giving here. Are you ready? Are you ready? If Jesus broke the skies today, not saying that he will, but if he broke the skies today, would you say, I'm ready? Would you be one taken? Would you be one left? Now, some people think the taking is being taken up to meet the Lord in the air. I think it is. The one left is being left to face judgment. But either way, whichever way it is, it's giving you the picture that people are going about their business. Some are ready and some aren't. And that's the way the world is. Some are ready and some aren't. So watch, therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. But he says, listen, if I knew the thief was going to come and rob my house, if I knew exactly the hour he was coming, would I be ready for him? I think so. I'd probably call the cops, but I'd be ready. I'd say, I found out when the thief is coming, I'm watching for him. I'm getting ready. So when he shows up, he's not getting any of my stuff. That's what Jesus uses as an example. Now he says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. I'm going to come when you don't expect it. So be on the watch. Be ready. Be alert. And how do I get ready? Again, the way to be ready is to have Christ in your heart. The way to be ready is to be surrendered to Him. The way to be ready is to not be deceived by the world around you. Be lulled into a false sense of security. To be ready because you know that you have Christ as your own Lord and Savior. And then he speaks about some people who looks like they might be ready, but they're not really. It says, whose then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware of, will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, strong stuff. What he's saying is being ready means that I first accepted Christ, that I'm one of the elect. That speaks of Matthew 24, that I trusted him. Secondly, being ready is that my conduct is right, so that I am truly trusting God. If somebody says, I believe in Jesus, I trusted Him, I know I'm going to heaven, and they're living like the devil, they're not ready. They're not ready. Why does he say this? He says, they're hypocrites. They're pretending. In other words, it's kind of like, well, God's not here yet. I'm going to sin. You know, it's like somebody said to me one day, I said, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? Oh, sure, he said. But what I want to do is I want to trust Him as my Savior, but I want to just be able to keep on sinning. I said, well, there's something wrong there. I said, yeah, but I don't want to change. Well, the Bible says to repent. That means you're willing to change, willing to turn, and accept Christ. Well, at least he was being honest, right? But here, what he says here is that a servant that pretends that he's serving his master as long as the master's looking, right? You know, you ever have somebody work for you like that? I used to call them shovel leaners when we were out west or whatever. When the boss would come around, boy, could they ever work? As soon as the boss would go back in the shed or whatever it was, they were on the shovel lean. And they leaned until the boss came back, right? You know, you don't want those kind of guys working for you because they're only working just so that they can give the impression there's no reality underneath. It's hypocritical. And there are people who claim to walk with God, but their lives say something entirely different. The truth of the matter is somehow people think they're getting away with something when they're sinning, and all the while God knows everything that's happening. He sees it all. And this is a terrible statement of actual judgment that we see here. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're not fooling anybody, are they? That's the truth. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to be ready. I want to encourage you. Take the steps that you need to take to be ready. We're all going on a journey. We're leaving this planet. You're only here temporarily. Be ready. If you were going to go on a trip, you decided, well, I'm going down to Disney World, or I'm going over here, you're going on a trip, you pack a bag. If you didn't pack a bag, you wouldn't be ready. Pack your bags. Be ready. Spiritually, realize I'm a sinner. God is going to judge the world. He's going to judge me. Am I ready for the judgment day? If I'm not, I need to get ready. God is inviting you to be ready by putting your trust in His Son. God is saying you don't know when the time comes that you'll be judged. Whether it's at the end of the age when Jesus returns, or whether it's at the end of your life when you leave this planet, you can be ready by accepting Jesus Christ and allowing Him to transform your life in such a powerful way. We get into Matthew 25, we're going to see the same encouragements here about being ready. As we look at virgins that are at a wedding feast, and we look at servants that are unwilling to serve their masters, and we'll see that in the next chapter. But for tonight, today, I want to encourage all of you, be ready to meet the Lord. The King's coming. This world's going to be folded away. All that you built will crumble into the dust. Everything you own will be nothing. It will be gone, like the flowers today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. It all comes to a close. Your life is going to come to a close. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Oh, be ready. The King is coming. And I can say, you know, it might be a tragedy if you're leaving this world and you're not going into a far better place. Well, then it would be a tragedy. If you're leaving this world behind and you're going to something worse, that's a tragedy. And Jesus wants you to avoid that, because there is a tragedy. If you leave this world without Christ, you die, you go to hell. But if you leave this world with Christ, you go to heaven. And you experience all that heaven has. And let me tell you, it is glorious, it is wonderful, it is awesome, and it's for you. The Bible tells us that hell was not prepared for people, but for the devil and his demons. But when people choose to follow the devil and his demons, they'll follow them right into hell. But all the while, Jesus is saying, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is inviting us to come out and away from sin and to come into his presence so that we'll be in his presence for eternity. Be ready. Amen.